One man was beheaded, and the other man, a king, was left to spend his final days in exile and shame. What was once perceived to be a notch on a man's belt, his right-hand woman, the pride and joy of his life, turned out to be a murderer, a manipulator, an adulterer, and most importantly, the enemy of righteousness. Remember those things for today's message. So, welcome back, guys. It's Sunday once again. At the request of many MGTOW men out there, it's time for a MGTOW Sunday sermon that's been on my radar. The sermon on the Jezebel of the New Testament, Herodias. So this woman asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter as the one thing that she desired when she was granted the opportunity to have a wish fulfilled by Herod Antipas. She used her daughter, Salome, which was the vessel used to please Herod, get him in a weak moment, and eventually execute John the Baptist. So, to let you guys know just how bad this woman was, I was even aware of her vileness before I became MGTOW, before my lenses, my glasses were hued with red pill. And funny story, as I actually had red Nike contacts for one season during my baseball career, but that was before the red pill days. So I do not see the world the same anymore. The stories that I read, the stories such as Daniel standing up to King Nebuchadnezzar or Rebecca, and other stories like that I've mentioned before, even with Joseph and Potiphar. And if this is the case, you know this woman is vile. If you are to see the vileness in this woman before you're reading passages, reading things in the media, reading the Bible, for example, with red pill lenses, she lusts for power, she lusts for status, she doesn't lust for Herod, and that's not something she wants. And the only way in her eyes to maintain that was by killing a man and killing an honorable man. So I always preface my Sunday sermons with a disclaimer, men, and it's regardless of how you view the Bible, whether you view it as the Word of God or as having no content based in fact at all, there truly is nothing new under the sun, and nothing new is out there. And this passage is just another example of that. Women still view power and view status as the holy grail of existence often, and men are often used as a vessel to attain that. And women will use sexual graces because they know that's where their power lies, to fell men and get what they want out of them. And we men are not guarding ourselves at times as well and are falling because of it. We are putting aside our own values and our own brotherly relationships and our respect for other men because of a demand of a woman. And this happened a few thousand years ago, a couple thousand. And if things haven't changed, why will they change in your life? Why will things be any different? They most likely won't be. And believing that is cognitive dissonance. Let's get going with it before I get too long-winded. So there are three different mentionings of this story. We're going to use Matthew 14, 3 through 12 through it. So you have to understand that Herodias had another husband first, and they separated. Such did Herod Antipas as well, which was the name of this Herod in the story of John the Baptist. Herod is a title. It's not a name, just so you guys know, and I believe it means heroic. She was the queen, essentially, through her affiliation with Herod, and was the sub-king of Galilee and Perea, two regions that were under control of the Roman Empire. So Herod Antipas knew that this relationship with her wasn't lawful, and so did Herodias. And guess what John the Baptist does? Even though he knows that they could kill him, he calls them out. He calls them out in cold blood. And this was after Herod expressed that he liked the teaching of John the Baptist. He calls it beautiful music. And John the Baptist did not fear losing this. And oftentimes, guys, when we are delivering a message, and I know that I've been guilty of this, we fear losing the people that have now sided with us for the knowledge that we are preaching. Thus, we don't speak in honesty, not because we fear that we won't get them on our side, but because we don't want to lose what we have. And always, fear always connotes losing or fear of losing something. So John was bound, thrown into prison. Both Herodias and Herod saw him as a threat. And when darkness is exposed to light, it views the light as a threat, even if the light is coming with the intent of redirecting and improving someone's life. John the Baptist is now imprisoned, and he's preaching, it's lawful for you not to have her. Now, Herod wanted to kill John the Baptist for truth. That's another thing. Darkness and sin views this truth as a threat. Goes back to the shaming lines that MGTOW men get. Okay, there's truth in what MGTOW men say and what the red pill realizations deliver for us. But refuting them and attacking us is a reason that darkness and sin views the truth as a threat. And now comes the birthday sex. As it says in verse 6 in Matthew and 14, on Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. So birthday sex is clearly not a new thing either. It even occurred in the Bible. Oh, it's never really framed as this, but it's true. And you know the weakest moment is for a man, you know when that is? The moment right after he has sex with a crazy woman. Not only is he lost in the oxytocin and the chemical connection that is manufactured in the brain in order to ensure that this man has some sort of emotional connection with her to carry him through her childbirth and on throughout the time that she's going to raise the kid, it happens chemically in order to ensure that you'll be around and you'll be interested still once the sexual desire is gone. And when you have sex with a crazy woman, oftentimes a woman that is a narcissist and overvalues her sexual abilities or believes herself to have a higher sexual marketplace value, you create a situation of inferiority and imbalance. And I don't care if it's his birthday, she still can't perform a sexual favor for her husband and not expect anything back from it. There is no respect there. And obviously, she used her daughter in this instance, but I believe that these notions that I stated would apply as well if she was the one performing the sexual favor. And she obviously had the intent of getting something out of him at this juncture because she felt her position and her title of being queen essentially was being threatened. It was in danger. So she pleased him so much, as the text says. And now Herod, a king, he was in a position of weakness. He was vulnerable, and more vulnerable than he would have ever been if he didn't have sex with her. And now she wasn't just behind it. Her mother was there. Or Salome's mother, her daughter was there. Her daughter was the co-conspirator. The mother is the co-conspirator. And this is a red flag. Women that work together in this type of relationship, the daughter and the mother working together, you see this today. And oftentimes the daughter mirrors the views of her mother and views them to be the Holy Grail. And I've been in direct exposure to this with women that I've dated. I've dated women that they clash with their mother and ones that cling to them. And both extremes are dangerous. Obviously, any extreme is not preferred. But Herod was most definitely in a sinking moment in his life and in his mind. His orgasm was over. The fleeting joy was gone. It was no longer. But guess what? He was subdued and he gave in to the order. And it states that the king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in prison. Even a king can be felled to peer pressure and to the pressure to succumb to a woman that has created this false sense of inferiority because of the sex that she provides. And this man, the Ahab of the New Testament, that was ruled over by a sexual power that a licentious woman is willing to give, is the epitome of righteousness, getting rid of the man that is the epitome of righteousness on a platter is one of the most debased ways to treat a person, to dishonor their body, to behead it and serve it up. But he had no shame. She had no shame. Not that Herod was a great guy or anything, but he was brought to a level that he would have never been brought to if he wasn't surrounded by a parasite and he made that decision. So what can we learn of this edition of Nothing New Under the Sun? There's not much in addition to what you guys already know and what I've delivered in this talk this far, but there is more to see in this New Testament version of Jezebel. And the first one is a woman's lust for power far outweighs the wishes she has to respect a man. And Herodias wasn't there for a righteous life. She wasn't there to build a relationship with Herod. There was no building and improvement involved in this. And that's the point of a relationship, or it should be at least. This was purely fueled out of her own lust for power and her fixation for maintaining her role next to the throne. And if it wasn't Herod Antipas, it would be another man nearby. And if it wasn't him, it would have been another. And that's how these women operate. It's whatever is nearest to them at the moment, the nearest resource extraction agent, the nearest well, okay, the nearest market. And Herodias knew that Herod valued John the Baptist and was impressed by his message. A man's pursuit of holiness and a man's interest in wisdom is perceived to be vile and a mark against the man that in the eyes of a woman is fixated on in the eyes of a woman that is fixated on unrighteousness. She didn't want this, and she wanted to erase this from Herod. And once again, guys, Herod Antipas was not a saint. He was no man that should be revered. But the moment that he shows signs of interest in a threat, and anything that could be perceived as a threat to Herodias, she not only orders for the beheading of righteousness, but she prostitutes her own daughter to do so. Her own daughter. She understands that Salome probably had the sexual marketplace value that she now lacked, And so she could leverage it for what she wanted, not just by doing it herself, but by objectifying her own blood. It's like two people, and you hear stories of this all the time in the news, mothers and daughters teaming up as prostitutes. And this mother still gets a cut of the profits that the daughter gets, but the daughter is used as a leverage piece, okay? And this woman had this planned out for a long time, women that have a personality disorder, that are narcissists. And this woman, Herodias, was probably beyond sexually active as well, are women that plan out the destruction of men that they're in relationships with, or just things that they are in the way of what they want for many months, for years. It was mapped out over a long time. This is never a day-to-day thing. And essentially what it boils down to is her hatred for a man was far greater than the love that she had for another person. And behind all of this was power, and her hate was not fueled necessarily out of hate for this man, John the Baptist, because he wronged her or anything, but because he was a threat. And once again, there was loss involved, and that there was fear because loss was involved. Her hatred for this fear and for this threat was greater than the love that she had for another man, which was supposedly Herod Antipas. Just as Jezebel hated Elijah and sought to have him killed, the same storyline played out with Herodias. She had hatred for a man that was far greater than any love that she could have for a man. And do you think that either Ahab or Herod would have ever recognized this and saw that they were incapable of actually giving up themselves and receiving, that is, you know, their spouse, receiving companionship and support from them? No. They are the type of women that won't even thank you for doing anything, even if it's providing for them and their families, Herod was doing for Herodias and Salome. And what you see here is cold-bloodedness and lack of remorse. Of all things that she could have chosen, she chose to murder. And I've dated two different girls that both acted out of cold-bloodedness. They had no remorse in how they treated people, often how they treated me and themselves even. And they branded themselves this way. They wanted to be viewed as this. Either they would state that they were justified in having these feelings and approach to life because they had been scarred and damaged by so many people, or because it was a product of the liberation theology and culture that they've succumbed to in this world, this Sasha Fierce, Beyonce and Lemonade, you should have put a ring on it nonsense that women are duped into believing, turning them into Taylor Swift and Bad Blood, thinking that the best way to resolve something and to prove their feminine worth is by bringing out an AK and divorce papers. And Herodias had no remorse. She had no remorse in using her daughter. She had no remorse in killing a man. And a man is just an object and an obstacle in her way. And when they talk to men around them in their lives, maybe these men are men that work with them, they're coworkers, they go to school with them, or they just meet them on the street for a minute. These aren't actually souls that they're talking to. They are lifeless bodies that are uttering words. They are not actually entities. To them, they are just books, sources of information, and resources that they can spring upon and use. And when this mentality is brought forth, this is when the remorselessness and cold-blooded thought comes into play, and these women will send men to war. They will put others in the ring. They will put men in the Colosseum. They want a gladiator because these men are not human beings and they want sacrifice. Sacrifice is the ultimate form of expression of love and giving up what you value for them, as Herod did. And imagine that. There was an infinite number of things that she could have asked for. And what does she ask for? She asked for a beheading, not just a beheading, but a beheading that ends up on a plate, okay? And as always, you have to look at the men in this situation, guys. We cannot ignore this. As was the case with Jezebel and Ahab, the man's role in this should not be looked upon as insignificant. And I have been Herod Antipas before. I have almost bought into this lustful fulfillment and satisfaction that I've gotten from a woman and instead given her all that she wanted, whether that was a marriage, whether that was cutting off my ties with my family. And that's another thing I could expound upon in the sermon. These women will remove people from your life. They will cut people off from your life as well, whether they're friends or family members that they don't want to be around, okay? Even if they're delivering a good message. And all this comes down to is a simple decision. As a man, you can decide to remove this woman from your life and do it with a snap of a finger, because if you have no legal claims against you, there are no children involved, then there really is no reason why you can't just snap your finger. You have the power over them, and you always have had that power. And don't put yourself in situations that will blind you to the fact that you have the ability to end a bad relationship. And this could be with anyone. This could be with a family member. This could be with a wife. This could be with a girlfriend. This could be with a platonic friend, or what was perceived to be a platonic friend. You have this control and you have this power, and we forfeit this over to a person that is controlling, okay? Because you know what came of Herod? You know what happened to him? Just as what happened to Ahab, having his reign destroyed. His life was taken away, his lineage was tarnished, Herod was destroyed by the insurgent. This woman was like an amoeba that slips its way into the ear canal of a man, a giant, this massive, strapping man, and it fells him. Something as small as an amoeba. And according to the historian Josephus, he stated that Herodias' ambition was the ruin of Herod. Jealousy of the power of Agrippa, her brother, she prodded Herod to demand of Caligula, the emperor, the title of the king. And Agrippa saw it, that this demand was refused, and Herod was banished and ended his days in shame and exile. Okay, shame and exile. That's how he ended his life. It wasn't gloriously like his frame so many times. When you found that woman, she's going to be there, and you're not going to be in shame and exile. You're going to die next to her. Rare, okay? And a king was brought low through a bomb that had slipped in on a trade cart coming to the city guised as resources. She was guised as resources. And he lived out his final days away, having destroyed another man's life, removed truth from the world, giving himself over to a woman that has a fraction of the power that he had. Just even when he was born. When he was born, he had more power than she did, okay? And it was forfeited. So, man, once again, I hope this message can be heeded. Nobody is immune. I'm not immune. You're not immune. Herod was not an honorable man, okay? And that's not the message of this. The message is that you guys are more honorable than Herod, but you too, regardless of your past and your goals for the future, are not immune. You're never immune to the lure of the seductress and the lure of Herodias and her servants alone. We need these daily reminders, and iron sharpens iron, men. These basic truths, these basic principles are sucked out of our minds and our lives because of the thorns of this world that get in the way of the path that has been paved ahead for us. And even if it seems hard to take time and take these red pills, I know that I have to take them, and I know that you guys have to take them as well. It's mandatory schooling. So this is not the end of the John the Baptist video series that I can make. A man that lived off nearly nothing, a man that brought no attention to himself and went his own way, known for his words and his actions before anything he wore or the ego he tried to live. There will be more, but for today, I hope this message resonated for you. And as always, men, you guys are a blessing. Do not hesitate to contact me about future videos. If you want to talk on the phone even, to share a story, I'm willing to do that. Sunday sermons or suggestions for any video or any way to communicate with you guys is highly encouraged, and I won't be stopping, and I hope these messages are the ones you want to hear, but if not, contact me at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com. Take this red pill with you into tomorrow, the start of another week. Whatever trials and stress lay ahead, I know that you guys can handle it. Every day free of the gynocracy is a weekend away. Embrace that, enjoy the rest of your MGTOW Sunday, and don't forget to send me your ideas for the hoodies that I plan on making in the future. Hoodies up, hoodies out.